In the first reading today, we hear about the prophet Elijah. Elijah, remember, is considered to be the greatest of all of the prophets. Even though we don't have a book written by him, he is the first of the prophets that God has called. And what we see is really something rather astounding. It would be astounding anyway, but just the way that God works, how he sends ravens to bring Elijah food. If you know anything about ravens, they steal your food. I was talking to somebody who was out in Colorado snowmobiling, and they said that they had pulled in someplace and the ravens came and they actually had the ability to unzip all of the things and get the food out of the containers that were there. So for a raven to actually bring the food is really astounding. On top of that, you'd even have to ask the simple question, where did the raven get the food in the first place? It's a drought. Where did he get the meat? You know, you think about the practicalities of this and you say, no, this is God working in extraordinary ways. And we remember that statement that Jesus made, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you beside. Where he said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Just seek his will, his way, and he'll take care of everything else. And we've heard the stories, and I've told you some of the stories, like the guy in Croatia who very generously had a freezer full of food and people were hungry and they would come to his house and he just kept giving them all the food till he had nothing left. Somebody showed up at his house looking for food and he said, I don't have anything. He said, look, I opens up the freezer and it's full. And it's like, well, I just gave away the last stuff. How is it full? And that just kept happening because of his charity, because of his generosity. God blessed him and blessed all those other people around him. God can work in extraordinary ways. There was the man who was smuggling Bibles into China. And he showed up at the border. His car was absolutely packed. The passenger seat all the way to the ceiling, the back seat all the way to the ceiling, the trunk was all full. He pulled up to the border. The guards looked in the car. They opened the trunk. They looked everywhere. Let him through because there was nothing there. He said there were hundreds of Bibles that were in there. But they didn't see any of them. Cardinal Vantoin, when he was 13 years in solitary confinement, in a communist prison in North Korea, in North Vietnam. And he said after, I don't remember exactly, but after like 11 years or something, they looked at his pectoral cross and said, where did you get that? He'd been wearing it every single day and they never saw it. God can do amazing things if we will trust him. And if we will strive to live our lives according to his will. It sounds so easy, but it's not. And it's not perhaps even, well, for several reasons. First of all, we are very, very much attached to our own will. We want to do it our way. Now, the foolishness of all of that is that we know that God's way is perfect. We know that God only wants the very best. And still, we like our way better than God's way. Really, really dumb. But it shows just how thick the skull is and therefore how small the brain inside of it is when we can't even get something so simple through the thickness of our skull. But then there's another part. And it says, Blessed are they when they are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you in just this way. And we listen to that and we say, oh, I don't want to do it God's way because I don't want people to dislike me. I don't want people to talk about me. I don't want people to persecute me. Yeah, if you're going to do it God's way, it's going to happen. And it needs to happen. And the reason it needs to happen is because we have to learn, number one, to be detached from our own ways, and number two, to find out just how committed we really are to doing it God's way. I mean, if we were just to ask everybody here today, do you want to do God's will? I hope every one of you would say yes. How committed are you to doing God's will? Oh boy, we will say 100%, I want to do God's will. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, we already talked about how attached we are to our own will, but okay, we really want to do God's will. So God's going to allow the persecutions to find out how much we really mean it. Again, it's not that he doesn't know that. He knows perfectly. We don't. We'd like to say, I am absolutely committed. This is the way I'm going to live my life. And then the things happen and, yeah, well, maybe there's a different way. How committed were we really? That's what God needs us to see. So he uses that to purify us. And he uses it to help us to see our weakness. But he also uses it to help us to become dependent on him. Because we realize as these things happen that we're very weak, that we cannot do this by ourselves. And so he allows these things to happen so that we become dependent, that we learn to rely on him. Because that doesn't come naturally to us. So there's a lot of good that comes from it, which is why the Lord is saying, blessed are you when this happens. It doesn't feel like much of a blessing. But then look at the greatest blessing that we've ever been given. It's the cross. I don't think that felt very good. And yet it was the greatest gift. And so again, we have this weird idea that if we're going to do things God's way, it should all be real easy. It's not the way it works. Again, go back to Elijah. We can marvel at the fact that the ravens brought him bread and meat every night and every morning. But then you stop and say, okay, wait a minute, he's just out there in the elements the rest of the time. It's not like he's just sitting back with his feet up enjoying himself and eating bonbons or something. No, he wasn't living an easy life. There was no rain. It is scorching heat. And he's out there by himself. For a lot of people, they wouldn't even like the idea of just being by themselves. So yeah, part of what God was doing was really extraordinary, sending the ravens. But part of what he was doing was very difficult on a human level for Elijah to have to deal with. Yes, it allowed him to be a hermit out there and to be able to pray and so on, which is a wonderful thing. And yet not an easy thing for most people. So you see, even in the midst of the extraordinary stuff that God does, he's going to ask difficult things of us to see how charitable we're going to be, to see how committed we are to doing his will, and to strip us of our own will. So these things are critically important. And again, you notice as you go through all of the Beatitudes that our Lord tells us, these are the people who are blessed. It's not the ones that our society would call blessed. It's the ones that our society will reject because they're a bunch of losers, because God obviously hates them, because you know, nothing good can happen for these people, or whatever excuse we come up with for why these people are the ones that aren't blessed. But isn't it funny that Jesus says exactly the opposite? Are we thinking a worldly way, or are we thinking God's way? How committed are we really to doing God's will? We have to see it His way before we can do it His way. So, some great lessons right there. And if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His way of righteousness, you can read the Beatitudes, because there it is. Here's how to live. That's what we're about. So strive for holiness, but understand that that is not going to be a cakewalk. The New Agers and some of these people want to tell you that you can be a mystic and you don't have to change your life. None of the mystics tell us that. None of the saints will tell us anything even remotely similar. Unfortunately, in our humanness, it's easier to listen to these clowns who want to lie to us because they tell us what we want to hear. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the saints. That's where true wisdom lies. That's where we want to be able to seek the truth. And if we're committed to doing God's will, it isn't going to happen without a deep prayer life, learning to be dependent on Him, being detached from our own will, and having to go through whatever it is that He will allow us to go through so that all these things can happen. Then we can truly look at it and say, we are blessed. We are blessed by the Lord who is giving us a participation in the cross. And if we are willing to do that, to seek His will, to strive to do His will, then the other part of the promise is there, and we have nothing at all to worry about, because all of these other things will be provided for you besides.